Everybody doing good in the Lord? I hope so. So Wednesday night, you know, we got into a few things. I thought we might pick up from there and get to talking about some of these things. It's over in 1 Corinthians, Bruce, if you're handling the projector here this morning. Just to tag back to some things that we were talking about in 1 Corinthians. We're dealing with the thing that was sown and how it's going to be raised and by what body it shall have. And who is it that gives it a body? God does. And Paul said what? He said, I now live my life by the faith of the Son of God. He said, I live, but not I. So what was he saying, Megan? He was saying that old man Saul, that man of sin, the one that persecuted the church and persecuted the way and persecuted Jesus Christ, that man does not live anymore. Wouldn't it be an awesome thing to be able to have the hope and faith of Jesus Christ in your spirit this morning and to know the thoughts of that old man no longer exist? That he be burned up, Micah? Didn't Peter see it as the heavens and the earth was aflame and on fire and all of the elements of the old were burned up, were purged? When Jesus went into the grave, did that body of death he came into so that he could overcome sin, was it burned up? Was it done away with and made new? Did he rise with a new body, a glorified body? So is there hope this morning for us? Because there's a lot of weakness in the flesh, isn't there? And sometimes you might take the thought that that weakness is so great and so strong that Christ in you or the Word of God in you cannot overcome it, but that would be a lie. We've said it so many times that greater is he that is within you than he that is within the world. And if God has set a world in your heart, what state is that world in? What condition is that world? And you say, well, I can look out here, you know, outside this window, and I can tell you what condition this world is in, but I'm not interested, per se, in the condition of this world. We know this world's in a mess right now. I'm talking about the condition of the world that God has put in your heart. And what do I mean by that? It means that I can walk in peace even in this world, no matter how much chaos there might be. I can walk in peace because Christ is in me. And if I follow Christ, I need not be burdened with all of the chaos that might be around me. That's why when David said, the Lord has prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, he was very clear to state that I am surrounded by wickedness. I'm surrounded by enemies. I'm surrounded by darkness. But God has prepared a table before me that I can, if I just come to the table, isn't that what Jesus said? Come and dine with me. If I just sit at the table because it's an open invitation. If I sit at the table and I dine with the Lord, I commune with God. I fellowship the Lord. That's what we're talking about. He said, you'll sit down in the kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You'll dine with them. You'll commune with them and fellowship them with them. Imagine those things. Imagine sitting down at dinner with Abraham. And Abraham telling you about how God took him out of his father's house and led him to where he eventually come to find the thing he was looking for. Which was what, Megan? The promise? Did he not eventually find the promise? Who did he find it in? He found it in Jesus. That's exactly right. Because when Jesus was raised from the dead, who did he bring with him? All of those saints? So did they die in hope? Did they die in faith, not obtaining the promise? Yes, they did. But when Jesus died and raised again from the dead, did he fulfill the promise? See, Abraham couldn't overcome death. That's something that you got to catch here this morning. There's so many thoughts in us that try to attain unto a resurrection. Listen to what I'm saying. You work in your flesh, or let me say it like this. In your flesh, there are thoughts that work in you to attain to a resurrection. Are you familiar with what I'm saying? And they've never worked, have they? You've never been able to attain in your own strength and in your own power unto a resurrection. You end up taking it to death, and the word of God that was sown to you, that was with intent to bring you to life, actually goes to death because you try to work it by the flesh. The flesh fails always. That's why men out here are so imperfect. They just are. And if you have any other expectation of them, you've deceived yourself. They're never going to be like God. They're never going to be like Jesus. It's just not going to happen. That's why we have to put our faith and our hope in God. We have to put our faith and hope in Jesus Christ. Now, am I saying that it's impossible in this life to walk and follow after the things of God? No, I am not. I'm simply saying that Jesus Christ has to come into your heart before you can begin to think and act like he does. And that's something that only God can do. So when we try to attain unto God, the things of God, heavenly things, by way of the flesh, it fails, doesn't it? It's sown by the sower, by the word of God, to bring forth heavenly things. But like we read about in Matthew, sometimes it goes to wayside, doesn't it? Have you ever heard a word of God and you just didn't understand it? What does the scripture say about that word? As soon as the word of God is sown to you and you don't understand it, then cometh who? The wicked one. As soon as the word of the kingdom, you guys realize that the word God has sown to you in your heart is a word destined to bring forth the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Think about what I'm saying. That's awesome. But as soon as you don't understand that word, then comes the wicked one. And what does he do to that word? He takes it. He steals it. Does that surprise you? Jesus said he was a thief from the beginning. Nothing should surprise you anymore about the devil. That's his nature. He's a liar and a thief and a wicked one. Don't be surprised when he lies to you and works against you to deceive you and oppose the things of Christ. That should not catch you off guard. So when the word of God is sown to you and it's not understood, it can be taken away from you. When it's sown to you and at first you receive it with joy, but then you're offended because it requires repentance or change or a turning away from, what does your heart become? Becomes stony ground. Hard to penetrate that stony ground. You ever been offended? Oh man, I have. I've been offended at the word of God. And I've also been wayside ground where I didn't understand. But then there's one that I have tended to lean toward in my time here more than any other. And that's been the cares of life. And you know, for a long time, I thought it was about the cares of this life. Like, you know, should I watch football or should I play sports or should I go out here and do anything in this life? I thought that was the cares of life that the scripture was talking about. But then I come to understand that the cares of life are about the thoughts and cares of the life of God. And I found myself lacking because I was concerned about my relationship with God and how I was going to get through that. And if I was going to even make it. Jesus said, do not be concerned about those things. Because he made the way. So why would we be afraid that in our flesh we cannot attain unto the resurrection when Jesus already has? And we simply have to receive that impartation. We have to receive the words that he has spoken unto us. And if we receive that word in wisdom and understanding, what kind of life do you think that's going to bring us to? Because if we receive the word in death, it's going to bring us into a body of death, into a life of death, of deception, of lies, the very nature of the carnal mind in the man of sin. But if we receive the word of God in perfection, in wisdom, and in an understanding, it's going to bring forth the life of Christ in us. And just like Paul, we will also testify of the revelation of Jesus Christ, that it is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And then the burden is lifted. Isn't that beautiful? All the fear, all the wrestling, all the doubt, all of the efforts, all of the struggle. All you've got to do, Mike, is just pull up a chair to the table and dine and fellowship the Lord. Imagine that. What does that look like here? What does that look like here? Is that not what we're doing right now? Is it not just simple fellowship, one-on-one fellowship? You maybe pick up, I heard Micah say, pick up the phone. Couldn't give better advice, bro. Pick up the phone and call someone that knows Jesus and fellowship the word of the Lord with them. Do not bring your flesh. Do not bring your weakness. Do not bring death. Just come as you are and receive the word of the Lord and let it be sown and imparted unto you. And in doing so, what will it bring you to? We've read it here, and I'm not going to go back through all of this. But what started out natural in verse 46, I believe it is, afterward comes spiritual. It starts off natural, but it becomes spiritual. The first man working in you is that natural man, Adam. Go back to Genesis and read the story. That's you. That is the progression of the word of God in you. You say, well, how could such a thing be? That was a man thousands of years ago. The spirit of that man is what works in each and every single one of you today. That's an amazing thing. What I'm saying is we're all in different places in God, but if you're patient, you'll realize that the reason you're following after this, the reason that you're coming to this, is because God is working his story in your heart. And you might be in a different place than I am, but it's all going to the same end. It's all going to the same resurrection. It's all going to the same glorious inheritance. It's all going to the same heaven. That's where we're all headed. And you say, well, I'm tripping a lot through this process. Can somebody help me? Just be patient, Adam. Adam fell, didn't he? He struggled. He sinned. His generations after him sinned. What do you think all those thoughts in you are? Those thoughts that struggle. Is that not Adam? Is that the spirit of the natural man that tries to attain unto God by way of the flesh? It absolutely is. So what do you need this morning? You need Jesus. Brad, that's about as simple as I could say it. You don't need me. You need Jesus. The catch is that in this avatar, like it or not, Jesus is. He exists in me. Praise God. And that's by the grace of Jesus Christ that I could even say that. So I'm able to do a little bit of testifying, Brad, about what God has done. And so will it be in Micah. So will it be in you. So will it be in all of you that come to know the Lord. And Brad, what it's done for me, what it's done for Dan, what it's done for all these others, is God not doing the same in you? Is that not the glorious intent of the Lord? To take you out of that natural man and bring you into a spiritual man. And don't worry, ladies, this absolutely, I'm only reading it in the context of the scripture, but it includes male and female. Because both of those exist in God. Both of them. Both of them, if you believe it or not, exist in me. You say, man, how do I deal with that? Well, if you, Megan, can be a son of God, then I can be a bride of Christ. And if I can be a bride of Christ, Kelly, you can be a son of God. Because Jesus will work in you, Megan, just like he will in me. It just so happens that he works it in the male in me, and he's going to work it in the female in you. And that's a beautiful thing. But we're not dealing with that this morning. God loves all his children. And when you see the hate right now that is in so many spectrums of our world, there's a cry that's been in me for the last several weeks, and this cry has been resounding loud and clear. You know what it is? You know what that cry is? I am not of this world. I am not of this world. I'm an alien here. I am a foreigner here. I am not of this life or of this world. This place is temporary for me. There is life beyond this life. And that's what I live my life for now, is for the eternal, which is and which is to come. That's so important. To take you out of that natural man and put you into spiritual. And I said it like this on Wednesday. As we have borne the image of the earthly. See, we get disgruntled about bearing the image of the earthly. In other words, have you ever been upset about being the man of sin? That is, Amanda, if you've even come to know that you're the man of sin. Right? If that hasn't been revealed to you, how would you consciously be aware? In other words, if God has never revealed the man of sin in you, you wouldn't know, would you? So God has to reveal the man of sin in you, or the woman of sin, because there's a woman of sin too. Her name's Jezebel. Oh no, that's that lady I know that lives three houses down from me. No, it's not. It's actually that foul, wicked, false prophetess spirit that works in you, in your heart. And God wants to get her too. And he doesn't want to destroy it like you think. He actually wants to redeem it. He actually wants to convert it. When I tell you that you're going to go from being the natural man to the spiritual man, you do understand that I'm saying God wants to convert you and make you whole. Spirit, soul, and body. Whole. Imagine being made whole. No sickness. No deficiency. Go read it. Into Revelation. There'll be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more death. Oh my God, you're talking about heaven to me now. Could you imagine living forever in heaven without sickness, death, sorrow, pain? Nothing? You say it sounds too good to be true. Well, I'm telling you it is true because I've witnessed it. I've seen it. And it is true. The Lord is true today just as much as he has ever been. And so when you understand those things and you witness those things, which is exactly what these men of God did when they walked with the Lord for 3.5 years, what did he sow into them, Megan? He sowed the kingdom of God into them. It took a little time, especially for Peter. Boy, that man of sin in him just did not want to let go, man. That man of sin, Satan, Jesus called him Satan. That man of sin in him didn't want to let go. That man of sin wanted to be who he was. And right to the very last minute, they were asking Jesus questions like, now, Lord, you're going to restore the power of God to Israel now? How many times did Jesus tell them, I'm not of this world, guys. I'm of my Father's world. I am king of another kingdom, an eternal kingdom. This kingdom's going to pass away. I'm not going to be made king in this life because that's not my destiny. That's not what I was ordained to. That's not what I was born for. I was born to come into this body of death, into the body of Adam, and overcome sin to make a way for you. And that's exactly what Jesus did. And John, we're only here this morning because of Jesus. It's the only reason. I don't exist without him. I can't. I came from him. I will go back to him, and so will you. Maybe at a different time. Maybe behind me, maybe ahead of me. Who am I to argue against God in the order of prophecy? That's not going to happen. We're just going to be happy and full of joy that we're in the succession, that we're in line, that prophecy is working and that the testimony of Jesus Christ is going to come forth and be fulfilled in our spirits. Even the day, when the day comes, Brad, that you're, you know, probably never going to look over my coffin because, you know, I have no interest in such things. They just throw me in the fire and be done with it, right? But in the day that they have some kind of little memorial, you know, and I'm gone from this life, you'll think, well, that's the end. It's over. And it actually will be for Gary Ellis. The body of Gary Ellis, what you guys know as the avatar of Gary Ellis, will be no more. And he'll never be again. But guess what will be? My spirit in God. I will live forever in a new body. And that body of death and corruption and, oh, come on now. You take the spirit, take the ghost out of that body, take the ghost out of anybody in this room. And that flesh is going to go the way of death, going to go the way of the dodo bird, man. It will be extinct. It will be no more. It'll rot and decay. You say, man, this is, I don't want to hear this stuff. You're not catching the hope of the resurrection. Because that's what we have to look forward to. Does that mean we don't live a glorious life here, a wonderful life here? Absolutely, man. I got 5 kids, 5 grandkids. Live it up down here, man. Have a good time. Enjoy those kids. Just know what eternity has for you. And that makes this life worth living. He says this, as we've borne the image of the earthy, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. And listen to what he says in verse 50. I didn't get to this the other night. He said, now this, brethren, I say this, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So when you go back to that man of sin, that natural man of Adam, didn't Paul just make it clear that that man, Adam, cannot inherit the kingdom of God? Is that why Abraham died in faith? He was a natural man. He couldn't inherit the kingdom of God. But who could? Jesus. Because Jesus put off that body, Micah, and he came into his glorified body, his eternal body, and he went before the throne and paid that price with his own blood, sprinkled on the altar in the holy sanctuary. And he made atonement once and for all. You know what once and for all means? Once and for eternity. Once and for eternity. It's a done deal, Megan. He doesn't have to go like the natural priest to the altar every single year. He went once. Jesus died once by one man sinned into the world. Sin entered into the world by natural Adam. But by one man's death, did God atone for that sin and make a way where there seemed to be none. And by Jesus Christ, we can now enter boldly, Brad. Imagine coming boldly before the throne of God, not in your name or in your efforts or your works, but in the atonement that Jesus provided for. And when the devil stands right there beside you at the throne of God to accuse you and say you're not worthy, guess what you're going to do, bro? You're going to agree with him. And you're going to say, you're right. I'm not worthy. But Jesus, the one that died for me, he is worthy. And because of him, I have been atoned and I am now redeemed. And I am that righteous man because of him. That old man has passed away. See, we're talking testimony. We're talking about the word of the Lord concerning resurrection and what body you're going to have and what eternity you're going to have. You've got to understand, maybe not today, but at some point you will have to understand. that it is not by your works, it is by the grace and faith of Jesus Christ. And it's as simple as the word of the Lord being conceived in you to bring you unto righteousness. He is the one that changes you. He's the one that heals you. He's the one that delivers you. He is the one that makes you whole. He's the one that can set you free from powers of wickedness and lies and idolatry. He's the one, Brad. He's the only one. And so imagine this, that in a moment, just like on the day of Pentecost, suddenly the heavens open and the word of God comes into you. The great light of God comes into you and quickens you and brings you into the revelation of Jesus Christ and raises you from death. Imagine being like Peter on the day of Pentecost and standing up because the Holy Ghost has come into him. And tongues of fire from heaven has brought him into the glorious revelation of Jesus Christ. The testimony of the Spirit of God. And the faith of Jesus Christ comes into you and awakens you. And brings you into remembrance of who you are. Imagine that taking place, because that is exactly what is going to happen when you are resurrected. I mean, in a moment, God visits you and awakens you, and you understand things you did not understand before. And then your journey truly begins, Brad. You think Peter's journey began when he started following the Lord, or do you think it really began on the day of Pentecost when God filled him with the Holy Ghost? Exactly right, bro. He said the Holy Ghost. Why? Because Jesus dealt with an old man for 3.5 years that did not understand, bro. He didn't understand. But Jesus breathed on him and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And when he imparted himself into him and filled him with the Holy Ghost, guess what Peter became? He became a true follower of the Lord. Oh yeah, there were still things in him, but did God go after those things? Absolutely. Did he? Now could he go after that natural man? He did. His name was Saul. That man was in Peter. And God went after him, made him one of the greatest apostles of the Word of God. Wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. It's fantastic. It's fantastic. We all need Paul. But we need John. We need Peter. We need them all. Because they're all Christ. They all make up the body of Jesus Christ. I know we're done. We're almost out of time here. But this is so simple, guys. And let me wrap it like this. He says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, man. Imagine the archangel Michael blowing that trumpet from the throne of heaven and waking up everything of God in you. Imagine that. Woo! Imagine the four winds of God coming from north, south, east, and west and blowing across that valley of dry bones. And imagine the wind of God visiting the and the anointed word of prophecy raising them up and putting skin where skin did not exist and bringing forth from the dead the saints of the living God and putting the life of Jesus Christ into them and bringing them with him in his resurrection. Those that have followed unto life and those that have rejected him unto damnation. Don't have time to get into that, but I'll just say it real quick like this. Damnation is not what you think. Destruction is not what you think. When someone rejects God, they will spend some time in places of the Word of God that will allow the enemy to have his way with them. And it could even bring a person to torment. Because they've rejected God, mind you. This is not God's doing. This is their doing. They made their choice. What I'm saying is, by the time God gets done, they're going to eventually come back to God and acknowledge that they committed sin and they realize they made a mistake. And God, in his love and forgiveness, is going to make a way for them also. Jesus didn't just die for half of you. He died for all of you. So eventually, even those that are presently in death, God's going to get them, Brad. That's a different message. That's not the message you probably heard growing up, that if you die without God, you go and burn in hell forever. It's not in the Bible, folks. You got to know God is a God of love and forgiveness. And eventually he's going to get them all. All of them. Just depends on how much love and compassion you can have. And he says this. The trumpet will sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. You ready for this? Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus. God bless you this morning. We love you. Appreciate you.